Good evening. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's my practice to start writing a sermon about 3 weeks before I'm scheduled to preach. I print out the lessons for that Sunday and read them. I read what N.T. Wright and Ted Blakely have written on the gospel for that week. I download half a dozen or so sermons or commentaries on that gospel that I find more or less at random on the net. I begin to think about writing the sermon. At that point in my process, 2.5 weeks ago, I went to a concert. Shawn Coven was touring. She came to Milwaukee and played Turner Hall, supporting the reissue of her most popular album, now 20 years old, called A Few Small Repairs. My daughter and I went to see her on a Wednesday. There was an opening act. Two attractive middle-aged people. A couple, Larry Campbell and his wife of 25 years, Teresa Williams. So often an opening act can be a filler, a waste of time. But that was not the case this time. And after a dozen or so original songs, this duo ended their part of the show by singing an old Negro spiritual I'd never heard before. The spiritual blew my mind because it was entitled, Keep Your Lamps Trimmed and Burning. Yep, sisters don't go weary, for the time is growing nigh. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The very parable we've just read. Once again, I was struck with the recognition that our Christian faith is so woven into the fabric of our culture that we often don't recognize the source of the material we sing and celebrate in our secular lives. Now, most interpretations of the parable of the ten virgins focus on how we are to prepare for Christ's second coming. We don't know when Christ will return. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We don't want to get caught short. It was the custom among the Jews for the bridegroom to come to the bridesmaid's house at night. When the groom's coming was announced, the bride's attendants would go outside with lamps to light his way to the house. Weddings usually began in the evening, which might make more sense when you realize that the Holy Land is hot and arid. Better to celebrate in the cool of the evening and into the night than during the heat of the day. Wedding festivals lasted several days, and the procession of the groom to the home of the bride and the couple's procession back to the house of the groom marked the beginning of the celebration, which might continue as long as a week. Biblical scholars have debated about what form the lamps were. Today, we usually think the lamps were small, made of clay and shaped on a potter's wheel so that they could be held in one hand. These are called Herodian lamps and are used to light the living areas inside a home, a business, or perhaps a temple. More probably, the lamps referred to in our lesson were larger and shaped like torches and were used exclusively outside where they would need to light up the night. But since these lamps were made of long sticks around the tops of which rags soaked in olive oil were put, I'm sure that Underwriters Laboratory would never put its seal of approval on them. Such torches as these would resist a breeze, give a bright light, and only last about 15 minutes before they needed to have their rags soaked in oil again. Some people have tried to guess what the oil is supposed to symbolize. Perhaps faith or love or some other Christian virtue. But as N.T. Wright says, this isn't that kind of story. Focusing on that kind of detail misses the point. And this isn't some complicated tale with hidden meaning. Our parable says there's only one difference between the wise and the foolish bridesmaids. Fiverr characterizes wise because they bring extra oil. And Fiverr describes as foolish because they don't. Except for that, all the bridesmaids act the same. They all come on time, they all wait, they all fall asleep. When they awaken, each of them trim their lamps. But before the bridegroom comes, the foolish bridesmaids find that their oil is going to go out. And after the foolish go out to get more oil, they find that the door is shut upon their return. They miss out. Preparation is the only difference between the wise and the foolish. Please note, the sole function of this parable is to emphasize the need to be prepared, not the virtue of sharing. The bridesmaids are not needy, just unprepared. They could have brought more oil with them, but they chose not to. When the groom was delayed, they could have gone out and gotten additional oil. They had enough money to eventually purchase more oil, so they don't represent those in need. Their lack of preparation, however, shows a disregard of social etiquette and can be seen as a slight or an insult to the groom. We all just need to be ready, to be prepared. We all just need to think ahead. We know that a crisis is going to come sooner or later, and if you don't make preparation now, keep your supplies and equipment in good shape, you'll wish you had. I used to chair the Racine County Emergency Plan Commission. That group wrote the countywide emergency action plan. It required every government, business, and industry entity in the county to file annual inventories of all the hazardous materials they had on site. Chlorine gas, explosives, flammables, and radioactive materials were inventoried by each business or agency that needed to use them in their work. In addition to the inventories of hazardous materials, each and every report needed to include an action plan in case any of those materials leaked into the air, the water, or the surface on which they were stored. And they were required to have annual drills in which those action plans were tested to make sure that they worked. And those drills were critiqued to see how they could be improved. We all need to be prepared. About this time of year, we hear public safety announcements about making sure that we have a blanket, a flashlight, a small supply of food and water, and a working cell phone. We put all that stuff in our car because we know we live in Wisconsin and winter is just around the corner. We're being warned to prepare for winter. Just like we put fresh batteries in the flashlight we put in the trunk in case we ever have a flat tire, we need to be prepared spiritually as well. There should be no doubt where we find our strength in times of trouble. There's no question where we find the help, the support, the comfort we need when a crisis hits. We find it in the church. We are Christians, and the church is the body of Christ. Here's a simple truth. Christianity is a religion of relationships. It's impossible to be a practicing Christian in isolation. We call the church the body of Christ. That is one easy way for us to understand you can't practice Christianity in a vacuum. Just as we are charged to see the Christ in others, we are charged to find the Christ in ourselves. Warren Zevon wrote a song popular at the time entitled Splendid Isolation. The chorus went like this. Splendid isolation, I don't need no one. That is a very antithesis of a practicing Christian. Look around this worship space. We are the body of Christ. We are part of a greater whole. You can't clothe the naked, heal the sick, feed the hungry, or advocate for the poor and marginalized in a vacuum. You need others to share that work. And you need others to share your own joy and your pain and sorrow as well. When we are in need, we come to the church. When others are in need, they come to the church. We need our church, and our church needs us. It is in some ways a simple symbiotic relationship. How do we support the church? With our time, our talent, and our treasure. We have the church here in this life. How do we prepare for all the challenges we and others will face? we support the church. We give out of our generosity to the church. We give out of our abundance. As we prepare for the challenges we know each of us will face, as we recognize the needs that others have, as we find ourselves challenged to respond to the many crises that confront this community, this state, this nation, on this stewardship weekend, we remember St. Matthew's, and we give generously so we may be prepared for all that awaits us. Amen.